Well, at Cornerstone Church, we believe in the leadership and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It seems that there are two extremes when we talk about the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? It seems like on one extreme is just some seem to ignore the Holy Spirit altogether, don't talk about the Holy Spirit at all. And it seems like on the other extreme, people have this unhealthy mania concerning the Holy Spirit. Truth is often found in the middle of the road, believe it or not, rather than in the ditches. We believe that the Spirit leads us into all truth and empowers us to be effective witnesses for Christ. Cornerstone Church, you see, was founded in 1983 by my parents. But my parents, you have to understand, my dad was a career man in education. He did his entire 30-year teaching career here in Chillicothe. He was the last, several years, last few decades of his teaching career, he was a high school guidance counselor. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Yet they believed the Spirit of God was directing them, speaking to them about starting a church. Again, not pastors, not people in ministry, people, let's just say, out in the pew. But time, I would say, and accomplishment has validated that the Holy Spirit did, in fact, guide them. Amen? I mean, wouldn't you say that it's evidenced after 30-plus years that they really did hear from the Spirit of God? This week, I began reviewing my prayer journals going back really over 15 years and just started reading things that I wrote down, reading things that I believe the Spirit of God was directing me in. I found this one from July 15th, 2006. I believe that the Lord awakened me early on a Sunday morning. When I say early on a Sunday morning, I wrote down specifically what time I awakened, what time I believe God was speaking to me. One sentence. It was 2:56 a.m. Really, it was Saturday night leading into Sunday morning. And I really just heard this and I wrote it down verbatim. Stan, if you feed my sheep, I will build the church. That sentence, that was it. Yet, all of this revelation came to me about what became the Life Center food pantry, about literally feeding people, give them something to eat. You have to understand the word sheep there's two different words for sheep in this account where Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep, feed my little lambs. There's two words for feed, there's two words for sheep, and it just meant so much to me. Out of that one sentence, we started expanding what we were doing for teenagers. We started buying up old buses and bringing kids in by bus on Wednesday night. And our youth group went from about 40 students to, at the peak, over 150 students on Wednesday nights. Our church, from the time that one sentence was given to me at 2:56 in the morning, our church has more than doubled in weekly attendance. In August of 2013, to bring things up to speed a little bit more, I received probably the strangest thought that I probably ever received in ministry up until now. But I had this thought and I wrote it down. I found it in my journal. Perhaps the Assemblies of God would allow us to plant new churches in some of their existing locations. Well, number one, you have to understand my background is Baptist. I've never been Assemblies of God. I have a few friends that are Assemblies of God. Chad and Courtney grew up Assemblies of God, but that's not my background. That's not a group I'm a part of. I thought it was a very arrogant, I thought it was a rather rude thing for me to even suggest that. Talk to some people locally. They connected me with the superintendent of North Missouri Assemblies of God. And long story short, presented the idea to all these people, sat in front of 8 district presbyters, and they just thought it was a terrific idea. I thought it was kind of rude. I thought it was kind of arrogant for somebody outside of the Assemblies of God to ask them to give us buildings. But last June of 2014, we planted a brand new church in Milan, Missouri, in the former Assembly of God building there. And last Sunday, we had 35 in our Spanish-speaking service on Saturday night. We had 75 in the Sunday morning service. Morgan goes up every Tuesday night. We have 20, 25 kids in a youth group up there. So every week in Milan now, we have an attendance in our church location there of over 100 people. I'm just saying that was an idea I couldn't dream up myself. I was very reluctant even to act upon it, yet I knew it was the Spirit of God speaking to me. This past September, Julie Klein, who's here this morning, approached me with an idea about going back to one Sunday morning service. You know, for a number of years, we did two Sunday morning services. I'll be honest with you. When she first spoke to me, I was completely, absolutely, totally opposed to the idea. In fact, I really wouldn't hardly give it much time of day. Got enough nerve to present it to the staff on a Monday staff meeting. They were more opposed to the idea even than I was. We, for probably 30 to 45 minutes, started talking about what a terrible idea this was and how there was no benefit in it. It was only bad things and so forth. So what I'm saying to you is this. We weren't in a position to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Myself and the staff. But Julie was hearing from the Holy Spirit. And as I found out later, many of you were sensing and feeling the same thing. And so, obviously, we went back to one service. Obviously, it's been a wonderful idea. It's been such a healing, wonderful thing in our church. It was completely a Holy Spirit idea. Earlier this week, I'm just minding my own business. I look at my phone and David Shriver had sent me a text. You guys are on my heart this morning, praying for you. You see, leadership of the Holy Spirit, while it's always supernatural, it's not always spectacular. You understand what I mean by that? It's not always overly dramatic. And yet, you know, I think Julie probably contacted me originally, maybe just with an email and suggested an idea to me. The Holy Spirit does not lead and empower pastors. He leads and empowers believers who are sometimes happen to be pastors. But the Holy Spirit wants to lead, guide, and direct us. A few years ago, the Lord started talking to me about Aaron Douglas. You have to understand that Aaron went to college and he got his master's in some kind of business administration or something and was working as an investment banker in Kansas City. God was speaking on my heart about Aaron being in ministry. God was speaking to Aaron's heart about being in ministry at the same time. I remember he called to make an appointment with me. And I was debating whether I should talk to him about this, what I was sensing the Lord was speaking to me about him. But I decided just to wait. And he finally contacted me. We met at the tennis court, believe it or not. We were playing tennis. And after playing tennis, after I'm sure he annihilated me, I'm sure he was, kind to me. But he's a much better tennis player than I am. But he said, Pastor, he said, I really believe I'm called into the ministry and I think I'm supposed to have something to do with our church. I said, yeah, we know. We've just been waiting for the Lord to speak to you about that same thing. And Aaron has been doing a tremendous job here at Cornerstone Church with our young people and a lot of the pastoral duties around here. Some of you know, most of you know, that for about the last 14 weeks or so, we've been doing groundwork that will lead to our next church location in Cameron. As a matter of fact, last Sunday night, Aaron and Micah had 47 adults in a Sunday night Bible study. That's a big Bible study. I mean, that's in short order also. On Super Bowl night, there was 25 adults showed up during the Super Bowl to have a Bible study with Aaron. I wouldn't have gone myself. But God's up to something, and we're getting ready to announce. In fact, I think you'll announce it tonight. Is that right? Aaron's going to announce tonight at the Bible study that we're going to start Sunday morning services on Easter this year. I'm just telling you, we believe in the leadership and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something about Cameron. And I told you this a few weeks ago. Our Cameron location, and God is doing some amazing things that we can't even talk about yet. But our Cameron location will explode in growth and will cause a great stir in that community. In the 30-plus years of Cornerstone Church existence, we've seen miraculous things happen because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We've seen barren women, I mean women that was impossible, medically impossible for them to have children. We've seen their children and their children in their 20s now. We've experienced ourselves predicted to be, let's just say, abnormal babies, born healthy and quite normal. We've seen curved spines made straight, cancers disappear, and addictions broken. In our travels around the world, the teams, not myself, not the pastors, but the teams would go out into the villages, go docking door to door, just asking, is there anything that we can pray about? And in some of those encounters, they saw blind eyes open, deaf ears open, tormented people set free. Now, I will tell you one of my stories. In Pakistan, probably the most dramatic thing I've ever seen in my life, Todd Powers and I were preaching this open-air meeting in Pakistan. And this little girl came forward. And we found out later she was about 12 years old, and she was deaf and she was mute. She'd never uttered a sound in her life. And I saw with my eyes and heard with my own ears. I heard her speak. And the crowd went crazy. The next night the crowd doubled in size, obviously. We saw a 12-year-old girl speak for the very first time. In Honduras, a couple of summers ago, we sent a team from this church to Honduras. And as our team was praying, with the very last night of the meeting, we did an open-air meeting in the soccer stadium of this community. And it was just packed out. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. We lost power in the room that night, but we began just to pray for the people, just almost in the darkness. Just enough lights that we could get from the generator. We lost power in the entire city because of an electrical storm that came through, and just the mud. It was an amazing event. But our team were praying for people in the crowd. And literally, we saw people carrying wheelchairs and crutches over their heads as they were leaving the soccer stadium. You see, at Cornerstone Church, we believe in the leadership and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and empower you because God loves you. But He's going to lead and empower you because God loves the people He wants to minister to through you. Would you open up with me in your Bible this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the first few verses there, we read about in the last days. In the last days, there will be times of stress, perilous times, Timothy says, that men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, and all of these things. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. But would you stand together with me as we read this one verse, verse 5? having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. You see, Paul, by leadership of the Holy Spirit, predicted that in the last days, people would have a form of godliness. They would be professors of being, you know, they would profess to follow Christ, but they really don't want to hear about the power of God anymore. That's one of the signs of the last days. And so I believe that as a church that was founded upon, has been established upon, has been throughout our history so dramatically led by and the miracles that we've obviously seen and heard about, that we've witnessed. I'm talking about stories that I didn't tell you anything that didn't happen factually through a member of Cornerstone Church. I'm not telling you stories that I've read about or that happened centuries ago. I'm talking about things that have happened weeks ago and months ago and a few years ago in our lifetime because of this church. And I don't want it to ever be said about us that we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. Let's pray. Father, I pray today that You would reveal truth to us concerning the Holy Spirit, that You would teach each of us how to be led by, but also how to be empowered by Your Holy Spirit. Father God, that we could say that our gospel, that our message did not come in words only, but in demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, that our faith is in fact in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. Father, we thank You for these things now. Help us to be doers of Your word, not hearers only, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You see, like Jesus, we must learn to seek after and to follow the Father's will. We must also be filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite verses, you can throw it up if you will, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, I believe that being called a Christian, that this should also be true of us. Christian means like Christ. We are like Christ. In Antioch, they first called the followers of Jesus Christians because they were like Christ. So if we're going to be like Christ, it ought to be said of us that God anointed the church, that God anointed His Christ followers with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God. And that the church, these Christ followers, went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. You see, when Jesus came upon the scene, Luke chapter 3, if you'll look there with me, please. Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist was the most prominent prophet during that day and had a great following. People wondered, is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he the one? Because he was doing such great things and had such a big following. And they began to ask him these questions. Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, that's an unusual statement. That John says, I baptize people with water, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes or polish his shoes, you know, but but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, Jesus picks up this same language in Acts chapter 1. After he's risen from the dead, after he spent about 50 days with the apostles and some of his followers, he's giving them final instructions. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now they tried to get Jesus to talk about when are you going to establish your kingdom. Verse 8, Jesus said, you know, verse 7, he got him off of that and got him back to what he wanted to talk about. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus wanted to make sure that those that were going to go out and preach the gospel to the world did so not with just words, but that they did so led by, filled with, and empowered with the Holy Spirit. So something about this baptism with the Holy Spirit has to do with being empowered to do the works of ministry. Jesus said, I'm going to send you out into all the world to be my witnesses. But you can't do so unless you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say power for just a minute. Power. All right. So when a person is baptized in the Holy Spirit, she or he has been empowered. Power has been bestowed upon this individual, male or female. Doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or not a preacher. This is something for Christ followers. This power has to do with being a witness to testifying of Jesus. Also, it has to do with living a pure life and having a deeper devotion to God. And so this becomes sort of this debatable thing in Christianity. You know, what about the Holy Spirit? You know, some people believe this, that when you're born again, all of the Holy Spirit comes into your life at that moment. Other people believe that, you know, you can be born again, but that you're not necessarily baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that you need a second experience with the Holy Spirit. You know, as I read through the New Testament, I'm telling you, I can make an argument one way. And then on the other hand, I can make the argument quite again on the other direction. And I think people want to spend more time arguing than actually just admitting we need more Holy Spirit in our lives. I mean, to me, it's sort of a useless exercise going through the semantics and the hermeneutics of scriptural interpretation when we all just understand we need more Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, we use illustrations to get our point across. Well, let me just use water for an example concerning the Holy Spirit. You know, if this water represents the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, we have inside Holy Spirit in a bottle this morning, all right? So, you know, we can have different experiences with water, can't we? I said, you know, because I might... last couple of days I've, you know, been battling this dumb sinus, you know, cold again. And so I really need to be drinking water this morning. It helps keep my throat lubricated so I can get through this message. And so you can drink water, and that's a good experience. It's a life-giving experience, isn't it? But you know what? That's a whole other experience altogether, isn't it? Same water, different experience. So I'm just saying you could take a drink of water and experience one thing, but you could baptize yourself in water and it's a whole other experience, and yet it's the same water. I'm saying we might need to be drinking in the Holy Spirit, but perhaps we need this Holy Spirit baptism also. And the same Holy Spirit that will come and live on the inside of you will empower you to do the work of ministry. Same Holy Spirit, there's nothing to be afraid of. And there wouldn't be anything unusual about that, would there? But Jesus, in fact, said, don't go out into the world and do any witnessing until you be endued with power from on high. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to go out and be my witnesses. And let me just say, just as one drink of water is insufficient and one bath is insufficient, I think just one filling and one empowering and one drink of the Holy Spirit is insufficient also. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The idea of being filled is to be constantly filled. Come on, somebody, don't tell me about your Holy Spirit experience you had back in 1975. You know, that might have been worn out somewhere in 1975. I want to know what's the Holy Spirit doing in your life today. I love stories. I like to hear old-timers tell stories about way back when, but we're not living in way back when. We're living in the right here and now, and I need God to show up in our life today. Come on, I need some Holy Spirit in our life today. I need the power of God in our life today because I don't know about you, but I know people that are addicted. I know people that are diseased. I know people that are confused. I know people that are hopeless. And I don't know what to do for them always. But the Spirit of God in me does know. He leads and guides us into all the truth and shows us things to come. And He equips us to do things that we couldn't do on our own. As a matter of fact, me standing up here before you and preaching every Sunday is the biggest joke of all time. Because in my natural ability, I have none to be your pastor. I know for a matter of fact that I depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to do this at all. So if I ever fail you, it's in the flesh. But if I ever do anything that blesses you and helps you, it's the Holy Spirit in me that does the works. I'm like Jesus in this, in that Jesus said, I do nothing of myself, but the Father in me does the works. Any good comes out of me, it's the same way that they said good came out of Jesus, because the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in me does those works. Can you say amen? Now let's look and see how this worked in the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, if you will, please. Acts chapter 4, verse 33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Everybody say power. Look at Acts chapter 5 in verse 12, if you will, please. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them. But the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. And also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Look at Acts chapter 6, verse 8. And Stephen. I want you to notice Stephen's not one of the apostles. He's not one of the preachers in the church of Jerusalem. You'll find Stephen earlier in chapter 6. He's one of the deacons. He's one of the men full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that they appointed over the food pantry ministry. The food distribution to the widows. Peter and John said it's not right that we should leave our calling of studying and praying and leading the church to attend the tables. So they appointed some men to be over that business. One of those men was Stephen. But I want you to read about Stephen, verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and what? And power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Can I tell you that God wants to use you? He wants to empower you to do the works of ministry. When Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth in John chapter 14, He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And He started talking about His Father's house and that how He was going to go away and prepare a place for them. And they said, "We don't even know where You're going, Jesus. How can we know the way?" And He said, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." And they kept saying, "Well, just show us the way." And He said, "Well, have I been with you so long that you don't know the way? That you don't know that the Father and I are the same?" He said, "Don't you believe Me? If you don't believe My words, would you believe Me for the works that I have done?" And then He said something fascinating. John 14, I believe, verse 12. "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." And I'm going to pray that He sends you another helper, even the Spirit of truth, who will abide with you forever, and He'll be on the inside of you. You see, by the Holy Spirit and by the leadership, by the filling, by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we've been called to do the works of Jesus, to bring healing to those that are sick and those that are bound, to help those that are helpless, to set the captives free. You see, when Jesus came on the scene, the very first message that we have recorded of Jesus, it's in Luke chapter 4, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God's upon Me, and He's anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are oppressed, to open up the eyes of the blind." And that's what Jesus did, and that's what God's called us to do. You see, we ought to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to conclude with this. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 5. This ought to be said about Cornerstone Church. And can I say it has been throughout our history? But it's my responsibility to stir up that fire a little bit within us again today, so that flame never dies. Our church was founded by leadership of the Holy Spirit, has been sustained by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, has grown by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and God's not done with us yet. Amen. I said, God's not done with us yet. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake." Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, we ask today in Jesus' name that You would fill us fresh, fill us anew, empower us to do the works that You've called us to do. Lord, I pray today if there's any person in this place that needs to be set free or made whole or healed or delivered, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit that You would make them whole, make them clean, make them pure, heal them, deliver them. Today we ask, Father, if there's anybody that's far away from You, we pray that by the Spirit of God that You would draw them back to Yourself. That people would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. We open up this time to You right now to minister to your people by Your Spirit. Lord, we thank You right now for the results. In Jesus' name, amen.